noticing that earlier in the week I put down the title of the sermon is What is My Testimony? And the first word of my sermon is conversation. So I think I sort of went in a different direction. But maybe as you listen to this, conversation does become testimony. So conversation, that is the theme. As I read and reread Acts chapter 24 this week, the theme that came out, the word that came out for me. Specifically, it was these conversations that were happening between Felix, the governor of Judea, and the apostle Paul. And there was one sentence that kept grabbing my attention. Felix hoped that money would be given him by Paul. And for that reason, he used to send for Paul very often and converse with him. It's one of those sentences that tells us so much in just a few words. And I love those bits of scripture, ones that draw me in and get me asking, what's going on here? What would this be like? So journey with me now as I seek to answer that question. And we'll begin with the two people involved, Felix and Paul. Paul we're familiar with. At this point, Paul is about 55 years old. He will now be in Roman custody as a prisoner for the rest of his life, about another 7 years. However, as noted in the scripture, there are times when he has a great deal of freedom, liberty as a prisoner, probably because he's also a Roman citizen. In this passage, it says that Felix instructed the guards to allow Paul some freedom and to also allow Paul's friends to come in and take care of his needs. The next governor, Porcius Festus, is not so generous, but in Paul's journey to Rome, he was given freedom to preach along the way, and in Rome, he wasn't in prison, but he was under house arrest. So he's being treated specially even as he continues under arrest, and that's Paul. Now, the other participant in these conversations is Felix, the governor of Judea for 8 years, from the year 52 to the year 60. He was a cruel governor, known to accept bribes, and that's what we hear in this sentence. Because of this, crime increased under his governorship, and there was a lot of insurrection and unrest. In the year 60, Emperor Nero called Felix back to Rome to account for the problems in Judea. Felix was married to King Herod's daughter, Drusilla, Felix's second wife. Herod had been the last Jewish king of Judea, and the one who was involved in deciding on Jesus' crucifixion. So Drusilla is Jewish, and by the matrilineal tradition of Judaism, their children would have been considered Jewish as well. And a little fact that I just have to throw in that has nothing to do with this sermon, but what I read is that Felix's wife Drusilla, this one that we're talking about, and one of their sons died in the eruption of Mount Vesuvius on August 24th, 79 AD. A little bit of trivia. So Felix and Paul are in conversation. We are told that Felix was well informed about the way. It's the first name that is used for this sect within Judaism that followed Jesus in the way that he taught. Felix hears Paul's public statement in front of the court, but decides to put off a final judgment. Felix declares that they'll wait until the tribune, Lysias, has come and will attend to the case, which never happens, by the way. So in the meantime, Felix continues to privately call Paul to his quarters for conversation. This happens in the course of probably over up to 2 years. Sometimes his wife Drusilla is there, sometimes not. In these conversations, they discuss many topics, including justice, self-control, and the coming judgment. Now, the sentence I pulled out of the story says that Felix called Paul often because he hoped that Paul would give him some money, a bribe. And then Felix could release him. That's why he put off the judgment. He wanted money rather than justice. But Paul doesn't play this game. No money is forthcoming. And so the conversations continue until Felix is recalled to Rome and a new governor takes his place who could care less about Paul. But I wonder, did Felix keep calling Paul back just because he hoped for a bribe? It seems to me that these conversations were more intriguing to Felix than the story allows. We know that Felix had made himself knowledgeable about the way of Jesus, and the topics of discussion are interesting: justice, self-control, the coming judgment. These aren't casual topics. If Felix was just hoping for a bribe, he could have engaged discussions about the weather or the price of barley or of olive oil. Instead, the conversations further Felix's understanding of the way. They discuss justice, something that was very important to Jesus. Jesus consistently spoke up for those who were outcast and oppressed and taught his disciples to do the same. He welcomed the lepers and tax collectors. I think of the parable that Jesus told of the widow who went every day to knock on the judge's door until finally, fed up, he gave her the justice that she sought. I imagine Paul telling Felix that parable. I wonder what Felix thought, since he wasn't known for justice. They discuss self-control. That is something that Paul named as a fruit of the Spirit in his letter to the Galatians. He wrote, "By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things." I wonder what Felix thought about that topic. He was not exactly someone known for self-control, more for self-aggrandizement, whatever he could do to make himself look better and to line his pockets with more money for his own good. They discussed the coming judgment. Now, when I first read that, I thought it meant judgment day, as in God judging humankind. But then I realized it's quite likely Paul's own coming judgment. His accusers are waiting to see what will happen to Paul. The other followers of Jesus are waiting to see what will happen to this beloved preacher and apostle. So it could have been that Felix was discussing with Paul what judgment should be made about the accusations against Paul. And it would have been a good way for Felix just to encourage that bribe to come. I also wonder how someone who wrote this knew what they discussed. Maybe Paul, on his journey to Rome, told some of his companions about the conversations as they sat for hours on the deck of the ship on the sailing to Rome. I just wonder how, because three specific topics, how did that get recorded? The other interesting phrase that I note in this story is that Felix became frightened during at least one conversation with Paul. Once again, we bump up against this contrast of which I spoke last week. For some, the message of Jesus is welcoming and assuring. For others, the very same message causes anger and alarm. I find that fascinating. What it tells me is that the teachings of Jesus are not meant to be something nice, sort of icing on the cake, a little addition to our lives. The teachings of Jesus are meant to sink deep into us and inform everything we do. The way of Jesus is meant to change how we live once we embrace it. And for some, this is good news, and for others, it is a frightening thing. So we leave the story here this week. The conversations go on between Felix and Paul until Felix is recalled to Rome in the year 60. And because Paul never offered a bribe, he is left in prison, and we'll pick up the story from there next week. But I want to come back to the theme of conversation and bring it into our day. I think that conversation is needed more than ever in our world. Conversations that might be based on Paul's approach to his conversations with Felix. There are three things I would note about the conversations between Paul and Felix. First of all, these were conversations between two people who came from very different backgrounds and who had very different approaches to life. The second thing is that they were respectful and thoughtful conversations. Paul refused to play games. He refused to enter into the game of offering a bribe. Instead, he engaged in genuine conversation that kept Felix wanting to discuss more. And the third thing is that these conversations didn't skirt what was important. They didn't stay on the surface. Rather, they took the two participants deep into the issues at hand: justice, self-control, and the coming judgment, which Felix would have to reach concerning Paul. In the depth of these issues, both Paul and Felix would have learned more about each other. I see and hear so much division in our society, in North America, in our world today. Lines are drawn, and each side makes a point of repeatedly attacking the other. Blame and accusations fly left, right, and center. People are angry. People are making demands. It's my way or the highway. So much is being said, but so little is being heard. That's what makes me think of these conversations and how Paul approached them with Felix. It makes me think that we need more conversation and less demands, more listening and less talking, more trying to understand the other person's point of view and less trying to make our own point of view heard. Jesus was amazing at seeing the person in front of him for who they were. He saw past the labels put on by society. He looked for the Spirit of God present in every person and saw their pain, their need, their love, and their faith. I think that Paul knew how to do that as well. For some people, to know that they are seen for who they are is a frightening thing. For others, it is a welcome thing. What if we, as people who have chosen to follow the way of Jesus, did more of the same thing in our world? What if we practiced seeing past the labels and judgments that society puts on a person? What if we practice looking for the Spirit of God in each and every person before us? And what if we chose to have conversations modeled on Paul's conversations with Felix? I suggest that that would bring more of God's love into the world. So what if we seek out conversations with people who have differing backgrounds and differing perspectives than us? And what if we are prepared to really listen and learn about who they are, to notice their pain, their needs, their hopes, and their dreams? What if we ensure that we do our best, as much as we are able, to make these respectful and genuine conversations, seeking less to make our point of view heard and more to hear what the other person has to say? And what if we dared to engage topics that take us deeper into conversation rather than sticking to weather or the price of wheat, not drawing lines between viewpoints, but seeking what we do have in common? Our world right now needs people who dare to enter into genuine conversations that bridge the divides, to counter all the proclamations and demands being made. As followers of the way of Jesus, we have a model in Jesus and we have a model in Paul about how these conversations can happen. It is what I believe we are called to do in this world, to join with God's Spirit in bridging the divides. For God is love. Whoever lives in God, love lives in God, and God is in that one. May we bring God's love to every conversation. May we build the bridges of hope and love that this world needs. For in the power of the Spirit, we can do this. Amen.